abiding in him, the key to your success. I wrote a definition down here for the word success: the attainment of wealth, position, honors, or the like. That was from, I'm not sure, Webster's, one of those guys. Success, the attainment. It's a getting of something. It's the attainment of wealth, position, honors, or the like. And who in here, you're lying to yourself if you wouldn't be able to say, I want wealth and honor and position and the like, right? We all want that. Here's another definition: the achievement of one's aim or goal. The achievement of one's aim or goal. And so here's some synonyms for the word success. Accomplishment. Boy, that sounds good. Who likes when they accomplish something? I mean, have you ever been, you know, sometimes, you know, you'll start a lot of projects and do you complete them? Does it not feel successful when you complete? So even, you know, this word success, we might think, oh, a successful life when it's all said and done and we go to heaven. You know, they had a successful life. Well, who knows? A successful life is not just one time a success. It's many successes equaling one success. And who knows, there's going to be some failures in there too. But you know what makes success? When you don't give up. When you get up. You don't give up, you get up. And it'll turn into a success for you. That failure can turn into a success, and then a success after success after success. We're to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. How about from success to success? From success to success. Amen? And again, don't they all have had a lot of failures? Well, hey, you're still standing. You're here. Pressing in, you're going for it, amen. It turned out to be a success. You didn't give up. It might not look like a success, but you're staying in the boat. You're not jumping ship. Really, I think of Jesus in his life. I mean, who would call Jesus successful? Do you think he kind of achieved his aim or goal? Now think about all some different points in his life when he was on this earth. Did it look successful? Didn't look successful many times, did it? But what happened? He stuck with it. He was consecrated to his call. His eyes were on God. He was submitted to his will. Not my will, but your will be done. That prayer of consecration. He was committed. And look, ended up being successful. Although it didn't look successful at the time, he stayed with it. Aren't you glad Jesus stayed with it? Amen. Because he stayed with it, that's why we get to be here. Thank God. And you know what? You staying with it. It's going to help other people get there. Another synonym for the word success is victory. Ooh, I like that one. Another one I like, happiness. Those are synonyms for the word success. Accomplishments, victory, happiness. Glory to God. Abiding in him is the key to your victory. You feel like you haven't been too happy lately? Well, you just haven't been abiding in him. You haven't had your eyes got off of him. And who knows, we've all been there, done that. We might do that again once or twice before it's all said and done. Not that we need to. Think, oh, well, it's going to happen. It doesn't have to happen. But when it does, thank God, we stay in the boat. We don't jump ship. Get our eyes right back on him. Repent for it, because it was sin when we get our eyes off of him. And we're right back in there on our way to success. Glory to God. On our way to accomplishments in God. On our way to victory. On our way to happiness. So think about that. You know, like I said, you know, what does success mean to you? Here's a few quotes I had come up with. I didn't write who wrote it. I'm not sure, but it wasn't me, okay? It was someone else. Listen to this. As you climb the ladder of success, make sure you're leaning on the right building. Don't you love that? As you're climbing the ladder of success, make sure you're leaning on the right building. And you hear that a lot, of course, especially, you know, in the business world. Oh, they're climbing the ladder of success. Well, I don't want to be climbing up the wrong building. Because when I get to the top, I don't want to realize I'm in the wrong place. I'm sitting on top of the wrong building or mountain. And it's to be him. Him. When you're looking up at the top, as you're climbing up, you're seeing him. You're not seeing money. You're not seeing wealth. You're not seeing all those things. You're seeing him, and just knowing from him comes all those things. But that's not what you're looking at, because if that's what you're looking at, you might want to climb down that ladder and walk on over to the right building and start climbing up that ladder, because that's the right ladder when you look up and he's there. Here's another quote. The secret to success is consistency of purpose. And it reminds me, let's go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 3. The secret to success is consistency of purpose. And we're going to learn a bit here from Paul's life. Who would consider Paul successful? Paul the Apostle. He was quite successful. Many things he accomplished, and all those accomplishments through his life equaled up to one big accomplishment. Man, he finished his course. He ran his race. He did what God called him to do. So all those accomplishments equaled up to the accomplishment of, I did it. All that you called me to do, I did it. Over in Philippians 3:10, just picking it up in verse 10 there. This is Paul talking, and he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And it goes on, but I wanted to bring out there, that I may know him. That was, and listen to what it says in the Amplified. I love Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified. Are you ready? It says, for my determined purpose. Remember, the secret to success is the consistency of purpose. And you're not going to be too consistent if you're not too determined. So we can also say the secret to success is just a determination in your purpose. Now there's a new quote, and that's mine. Hallelujah. So there's that consistency. It's going to take a determination to stay consistent, to stay in the boat, to stick with it. Determination. So Paul here, he says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively, this is the Amplified, that I may progressively, who knows, we can't just say all of a sudden one day, yeah, I know him. That word to know him in the Greek, it doesn't mean, oh, okay, you know him. It means it's a progressive knowing. Hey, just like, you know, look around, you've got some friends around you and things. You progressively know someone. You don't all of a sudden one day, you know, don't think just because when you get married, all of a sudden you're going to know someone. Actually, you're going to realize how much you didn't know them. That's another sermon for another time. But you know what? Finger back at you. Come on, ladies. They thought they knew you, and they got a few things that they didn't know about either, huh? Hallelujah. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. So again, later on, this is study time on your own. You can look at this a little bit more. I can't stay on it, but boy, I'll tell you, Philippians 3:10 in that Amplified, you talk about getting your purpose right. You talk about, you know, if you think at the beginning when I asked you that question, what were you looking at success? Look at this. This is to be our success. This is to be what we're aiming for, to know him, my determined purpose, that I may know him progressively, to become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving. Who wants to be more perceptive to him and his workings, his doings, and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Who knows? It can all be more clear to us. See? And as we draw more near to him, it becomes more clear. He becomes more clear to us. And that's what, when we become closer to him, when we become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Who knows? To get intimate with someone, it takes a getting close to, you see? And that's to be him, first and foremost. And so I wanted to bring that out. That was Paul's determined purpose. And we could say that he had quite some success. We consider him to be successful. But how was he successful? How did it all come about? He knew God. And I don't mean all of a sudden one day he woke up and knew him, right? It was progressive. He went on. He was determined. His purpose was first and foremost to know him. He had other purposes in life. God had things for him to do. But the main purpose, the building his ladder was leaning on, was him. Amen. Paul's ladder used to be leaning on the wrong building. You ready for this? Paul's ladder used to be leaning on the wrong building. And I'm going to read it just over here in the Amplified to save time here. But I'm going to read Philippians 3 in, where do I want to read? I want to read from this. In the New Living Translation. The New Living Translations, Philippians 3, I'm going to read from verse 4 to verse 9. Okay, you ready for this? It's kind of a little handful, but listen, this is so good. So like I said, Paul used to be leaning, his ladder used to be leaning on the wrong building. Watch. Yet I could, well, I'll start here. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Yet I could have confidence in myself, if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Boy, he sounds pretty boasty. For I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family that is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin. Boy, he's bragging. So I am a real Jew if there ever was one. What's more, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And zealous? Yes. In fact, I harshly persecuted the church, and I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully that I was never accused of any fault. Once thought all these things were so very important. He used to boast in those things. He was climbing up the wrong building. He used to boast in those things. He said, but now, everybody say, but now. Once thought all these things were so very important. And now watch this, because I know before we were saved, before you were born again, just like me, remember, who knows, there were a lot of things that we thought were really important, right? And then we got saved, hallelujah, and we came to the understanding and revelation of some things. But you know what? I just dare you to check on yourself every once in a while and make sure you're still doing that. Make sure the things that ought to be important to you are still the most important things to you. It's not like, oh, well, I was saved and now I know what's important. Well, who knows? We need to always be checking on that and making sure we're climbing up the right building. So he thought they were so important, but now I consider them worthless. Oh, come on, Paul, worthless? That was a lot of bragging going on. He had a lot of rights to be pretty proud of himself. My. But he's saying he's counting them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared. It doesn't mean like there was no reason for that. It was like completely worthless and who cares? No, he's talking about it was worthless in comparison to. You see, it was worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Yes, everything else is worthless. There are all those things we might think would make us be considered a success. Everything else is worthless. Paul had a lot of reasons in the flesh to think he was a success. Yet he said, everything, all that is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing him. And then it goes on. Well, it says, I have discarded everything else. He's not trying to hold on to some of those things. He discarded them. Counting it all as garbage so that I may have Christ and become one with. And it goes on. And then in verse 10, that's where it picks up, like what I read in the Amplified. He said, for my determined purpose is to know him. And that's what life's all about. And that is the way to our success, knowing him. But you're saying, well, hey, I thought this was called abiding in him. Well, you know what? As we abide in him, we're going to come to know him. Remember, progressively, even more and more and more. So it starts with the decision. Hey, I'm going to abide. And we'll talk about, okay, well, how do I do that a little later here? But it's the decision, I'm going to abide. And then know, as you are abiding, you are progressively coming to know him more and more and more. Jeremiah chapter 9 in verse 23 and 24. Look what it says here. Thus says the Lord. Who said it? The Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Amen. That he understands and knows me. And notice, it's okay to glory in something. Notice, see, he's saying, he's not saying don't glory, but just he who's glorying, glory in this, that you know him. And we think people will get up in there, you know, we're like, boy, you're pretty confident, pretty bold. You think you know him. I'm going to glory in that. To the degree that I know him, it's just time that we glory in that. Yeah. Help rise people up to that place. You see? And so we can glory in knowing him. He told us we can. Glory in knowing where you are in him, what you've got in him. Amen? And it doesn't mean that we can't be wise, doesn't mean that we can't be mighty, and it doesn't mean that we can't be rich. God wants us wise and mighty and rich. He just doesn't want us glorying in those things. He wants us to glory in knowing him. And as we glory in knowing him, we're going to get those things. It's going to help make us wise and more wise. It's going to help us be mighty women and get more mighty. And it's going to help us be rich and stay rich. That's good stuff right there. Listen to this in the English version of that same scripture. It says, the Lord says, wise men should not boast of their wisdom, nor strong men of their strength, nor rich men of their wealth. And there's a lot of that going on, especially in the business world. People boasting about their wealth. Look what I have. Look what I've attained. Look what I've made to try and get you. Don't get hooked up with it. Don't go that way. You keep your eyes on him. He's the way to the riches, not in your program. Wise men, nor rich men of their wealth. He's saying rich men should not boast of their wealth. That's what it says. He said it. If anyone wants to boast, he should boast that he knows and understands me. He should boast. So it's okay to boast, but just boast about knowing the Holy Ghost. Woo! Who is the Spirit of God, who is one with God. Hallelujah. Here's another one. 1 Timothy 1:12. Again, speaking of Paul here, let's turn here really quick. 1 Timothy 1:12. I love this. I got this revelation one day years ago, and it just had changed me. Yeah, it's 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. And again, this is Paul. Paul wrote the book of Timothy. So this is the same man we're talking about learning from. Listen to what he said here. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know the Bible. For I know the scriptures. For I know the word. For I know whom. I know the Bible. I know whom I have believed. Not necessarily what. We can look at this Bible and say, yeah, this is what I believe. But this is more than an it. It's a him. Because these are his words. I've shared this before and I love it. It has so helped me. It might help someone that's never heard this before. But, you know, we call this sometimes God's word. Oh, yeah, I'm going to read God's word. Oh, it's God's word. Well, I almost like saying it's God's words. So when we say God's word, it almost has a little bit of a religious thing to it. Not that it has to be, but because people call it the Bible or God's word. But I like, it's God's words. This whole book is filled with God's words. Yes, it's God's word, but it's God's words that make up his word. So he really spoke these things. And who knows, you can't separate a person from their words. Right? You can't. Those words come from that person. They're a part of them. My words are a part of me. Your words are a part of you. You can't separate them. But here I love this. It's saying, for I know whom I have believed. And because he knows who he believes, well, he believes his words. So it would have been okay to say that. But again, it kind of shows and proves to me where his focus was. That determined purpose was not to, you know, memorize the Bible and to know lots of scriptures. It was to know him. And as we know him, we'll come to learn the Bible and we'll come to learn and memorize those scriptures, right? But always the main focus, knowing him, knowing him, knowing him. Determined purpose, because we're not going to get there if we're not determined, and it's not our main purpose. And what we're going after right now is what we're spending most of our time on right now. And I'm not saying that means, oh, well, we have to stay home and lock ourselves in a closet and pray and read for 8 hours a day in order for us to be able to stand up and say, yes, I'm going for him. He's my determined purpose. No. Of course, there are times where we do that. We have that one-on-one time with him. We pray, we read and things. But it's just throughout the day, that communicating with him back and forth. You can spend the whole day with God. People think, I don't have any time. You can spend the whole day with God. You're spending the whole day with somebody. You're spending it with you. Might as well have him there too. And actually, he is there the whole time. But if you're not abiding in him, you're not realizing he's there. And you're not taking advantage of it. I know whom I have believed. Not what I believed, but I know whom I believed. And who knows, at this point now, you know, after Timothy, remember, it's the same man we're talking about, Paul. Back in Philippians, remember, he's saying, my determined purpose. This is what I'm going for. And then if you read later, it's wonderful. That's where it goes on and says, you know, forgetting those things that are behind, pressing forward to the things that are ahead. I'm pressing for the prize. He had an aim. He had a goal of knowing him. That's all back there in Philippians 3 there, see? And I believe if you really want to get the most out of this, it's going to take some requirement of study from you all. Kind of go back and look at it and let God talk to you about a bunch of things. Because it's just, for time's sake, I cannot go through a lot of things. But I know there's so much in this. And God will speak to you and talk with you if you open these scriptures again later on. But Paul knew him. So he knew him back then. And now, and look, now over here he's saying he was, that was his determined purpose. Who knows? He obviously didn't jump ship or didn't jump out of the boat. He stayed with it. Who knows? He had reasons to quit. He had reasons to jump ship and say, forget this. This ain't working. I'm out of here. He didn't. And now look what he's saying over in 2 Timothy to a pastor. He's saying, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. If you want to be persuaded about God, we need to be found abiding in God. As we're abiding in him, we will become more persuaded. You see that? As we are abiding in him, we'll be even that much more persuaded. Let's face it, when you're abiding in him, well, you're coming to know him. Think about it. You know, the more you spend time with someone, what happens? The more you get to know him, right? Well, why is it any difference with God? The more we spend time with him, the more we get to know him. The more we'll be persuaded by him that he is true and that he isn't a liar and that he is faithful and that we can trust him and that he does love us and that he does have awesome things for us, you see? We'll become more persuaded. So if you're not feeling persuaded, you haven't been abiding. See? So we want to make knowing him our determined purpose. Knowing him our determined purpose. You know, this came to me. I wrote it down. You know, you've heard the saying, you know, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again. That came to me this morning. So I wrote it down to remind me. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again. There's some good truth to that. We're just talking about just don't jump ship. Don't give up. Get back up. If at first it doesn't seem you succeeded with it, try and try again. Try and try again. The Bible talks about, you know, he who's righteous practices righteousness. Doesn't mean he's perfect. It means practice. What does it mean to practice something? It means to get better at something. You keep falling into something. Well, who knows? Number one, we never have to fall into sin or anything because we have God in us and the power of God in us to not do it. But if and when we do it, let's not stay in it. We get up, and who knows? And I know different things that I struggled with years back. Time and time again, then it became shorter. It became longer times, longer spans of time where I would fall back into that thing. You know what I'm, or fall back into that attitude, or you know what I'm saying? So I practiced righteousness, and I got better and better and better and better at it. That's encouraging, isn't it? You don't have to, you know, thank God when, you know, Mark started playing soccer, he wasn't just thrown out on that field and expected to learn how to, you know, just, okay, go be a great soccer player. No, they have practice. Thank God. So they can get better. Well, how about us? We get to practice. But thank God we get better. But it's not an excuse to not to go for excelling in that thing, thinking, oh, well, I'll never get it, you know. No, you are going to get it. Keep practicing, you are going to get it. Keep looking to him. Keep climbing up the right ladder. Amen. And you will. You know why? Because he already told you will. You know why? Because he already told you win. Woo! Glory. Amen. So, you know, to know of him and to know him is a difference. There's a lot of people that know about God. And I even challenged you this morning. I challenged myself. Because, again, we just learned here that knowing him is progressive. It's not just, oh, yeah, I know God. I know him. We know a lot. We might know a lot about him. And how do we learn about him? Well, maybe right through his word. This is how we learn about him. We learn all about him in here. So we know about him, but do we know him? And we can all say to a certain degree, yeah, we know him. But can we know him more? Yes. Progressive, right? More coming in closer to him. More deeply. More intimate. Pulling in closer towards him. So you can see him better and more clear. You can hear more clear what he's saying, and you can everything's more clear when someone comes more near, right? Or actually when you become near, because he's not moving. Who knows? He's not changing. He's not going to do anything more for you than he's done. There's nothing more for him to do. Do you understand his work is finished in you, all about you? It's done. Now it's a matter of us walking in that, seeing that, so we can be it. He's made us that way, but now we need to see ourselves that way so then we can be that way. It says over there in Daniel 11:32, it talks about, it says that those who know their God shall do great exploits. Those who know their God, not just know about God, but they know their God, not their mom's God or their husband's God or their wife, their God. Those that know their God shall do great exploits. In the Living Bible, it says shall do great things. Sounds pretty successful to me. How about you? Great things sounds like success. That's who's going to do great things. That's who's going to have success. Those who know their God. Those who know their God. Amen. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. We won't turn there. Hosea 6, verse 3. It says, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. That word pursue in the Hebrew means to run after. What are you running after? Ask yourself, what am I running after? That's what you're pursuing. So if it's not the Lord, let's get that changed. It's a decision. It's a heart decision. Let us pursue. Let us run after the knowledge of the Lord. You have every right to run after whatever you want to run after. God's not going to make you run one way. It's our decision, right? Choose this day who you're going to serve. It's not like all of a sudden, oh, Jesus became my Lord. But choose this day. And then the next day, we'll read that same scripture. Choose this day. Choose this day. Choose this day on Monday. Choose this day on Tuesday. Choose this day on Wednesday. Not just Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Okay, I'm choosing Lord. I'm going to church. Every day, choose this day who you're going to serve. Who you're going to run after. What are you going to, where's your aim at? What are you striving for? What are you going for? What's your determined purpose today? Choose this day. Amen. Pursue to know him. Pursue to know him. May that be our determined purpose. And you know just as well as I do, us women are very determined. Maybe not for the right thing, but you are determined. I know you are. I know you are. I am too. Think about that a little. Selah. Later on, because we got to go on. There's no Selah here. There's Selah later, all right? Acts 20:24. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Acts 20, verse 24. Again, Paul. Here's what he says now. And again, to get the full gist of this, you know, to read the chapter 20 would be best for you later on to kind of get it in context here. But hey, basically, he's gone through a lot of stuff, and now they're saying some crazy stuff about where God, he feels God's telling him to go and whatever. And in verse 24, he says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. I mean, that's a big one right there, that I may finish my race with joy. His determined purpose isn't just to finish his race. My Lord, I mean, some of those people, when they're running that race, it's like they get to the end line and they probably just drop and like, oh, so glad that's over. Well, here, when we finish our race, it's supposed to be with joy. Woo! That I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So notice that was a key to Paul's success. He didn't allow things to move him. He didn't allow things to move him. And who knows, we ought not to allow things to move us either. And if we're abiding in him, who knows, that's in him, we're not moving. Nothing's going to move me out of him. Nothing's going to move me away from him. It may try. It may almost feel like a magnet, the pressure to pull me away. My determined purpose, I chose this day who I'm going to serve. I'm not moving. Say, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. You can try and move me, but I'm not moving. Amen. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. He didn't count his life dear to himself. And he knew these were so such important things so that he would be able to finish his race with joy and complete the ministry that the Lord Jesus gave to him. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to look at this as well. Again, Paul. 2 Timothy, after all we've learned about Paul, we learned at the beginning how, you know, what his determined purpose was, right? He was forgetting all those things. He wasn't bragging and boasting in all those things. He counted them as garbage. His determined purpose, amen? Watch this, 2 Timothy. This is at the end of his race now. He is near the end of his race now as he's writing this. Uh-oh. Hold on. I was in Peter, sorry, hold on. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 7. Well, let's read in verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew it was almost time for him to leave. I have, listen to this, I have fought the good fight. He did it. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally. Verse 8. Finally. Everybody say finally. He probably felt like that was a finally. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. You talk about success. There's a lot of earth success on this earth. But you know what? I am going for the success of heaven because that is eternal. I can't bring all my stuff up there, but we can bring other people that we have influenced and sown into their lives. We can bring them up there, and we've got rewards for that up there. That's got to be our main purpose, our main aim, what we're striving for. Who knows? It doesn't come easily. There's a striving for that. There's a striving for the faith. There's a striving. There's a determination. There's a fight about us that we must keep. Right? Otherwise, it just doesn't fall on our lap. It's not easy. It's not just handed to us on a silver platter, so to say. But it's worth it all if we'll just keep our eyes on that day. Yeah. My, my, my. Finally, there is laid up for me that crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. So, Paul's success in each of his faith fights, each time he kept the faith, it wasn't just one time. He had many successes, many fights of faith that he overcame, things he overcame, times where he could have been moved, but he was like, I'm not being moved. Many successes that equaled up to this one success. Look at this. That he was actually able to say, I have fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith, and I'm going to just stand before him on that day and receive my crown that I get to keep on forever. Amen. But watch this. He'll give to me on that day, and not only to me. Well, we can say, oh, hey, well, that's great for Paul. Yeah, whoopee. Read on. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. To all who have loved his appearing. I forget where it is, but there's a scripture. Maybe you can try and find it later. But there was a scripture as I was studying about abiding and about having, I think it's in 1 John, about having confidence at his coming. If we're abiding in him, we will have confidence. It's somewhere in 1 John. We'll have confidence, boldness at his coming. We won't hide ashamed. But we'll have confidence and boldness knowing, hey, I've been abiding in him. He knows what I look like. I know what he looks like. Here I am. Here's my head for the crown, Lord. He was determined. Paul was determined. He remembered his purpose. Philippians 3:10 amplified. Remember, my determined purpose was to know him. He obviously knew the secret to success, did he not? Yeah, he did. So abiding, we've got Well, we've got 15 more minutes. We're doing pretty good here. John 15, are you all okay? I'm not, no one's snoring. Everyone's eyes are open. I think we're doing good. Is this good, right? We got to get to the abiding part, right? Let's get to the abiding part. All right, John 15, let's turn there. Hallelujah. John 15. So again, abiding in him, the key to your success. So we've talked much about success. And now the answer to abiding, and we've kind of got into it a little bit. We talked about knowing him, having him to be our determined purpose. That's the key to our success. But again, like we said, the way we're going to know him or come to know him progressively, like we learned, that's what it means to come to know him progressively and more intimately. How we're going to do that is by being with him, or we can say staying with him. The word abide in the Greek, we're going to read John 15 here in a minute. But this word that we're going to read about in a minute, this word abide in John 15 means in the Greek to remain, to stay in a certain place, to remain, to stay in a certain place, not being moved, to stay in a certain place. So let's read here, John chapter 15. I am, and this is Jesus talking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And just here for a moment, I feel impressed. We're not getting off on this, but I'm just impressed to say, people think, oh, Lord, God's pruning me. Let's not be afraid of being pruning. You know, don't, because picture yourself out on your deck pruning your flowers. I mean, you're pruning your flowers because you love your flowers. And you want your flowers to blossom even more, don't you? You don't want them to just end up dying altogether. And if you don't prune your flowers, that's exactly what's going to happen. So don't think, God's mad at me. You being pruned is not God being mad at you. You being chastened isn't God being mad at you. We want to get that. Us being chastened is him loving us. He's not coming and slapping us. It's through the word. It's the word that is to chasten us. Help correct us, right? And so, thank God for pruning. Because that way when you're pruned, then you're able to even bear more fruit, which is what we want to do. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I want to say it this way for the sake of what we're studying here today. But who knows, we can say bearing fruit. We can liken that to being successful, right? Bearing fruit, success is just bearing fruit, just attaining what he's wanting us, you know, walking in the fruits of the Spirit, you know, doing all these things, just bearing fruit for God, just being a success for him. So abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot be successful. Let's face it, a branch cannot be successful if it is not abiding in the vine, right? Picture a branch cannot be successful. There's no success there unless it abides in the vine. And so he's saying, neither can you. You can't be successful unless you're abiding in me. Now, again, you think, well, hey, there's a lot of people not abiding in him, and they look how successful they are. Well, again, we have to measure this. Okay, first of all, their success, probably most of it, this life is but a vapor. Okay? So success even in this world, which God wants us to have that too, but that even is lasting but a moment. So the success we're wanting to go for is the one that we can bring on over. So we can't be successful, real success, like we're talking about. And you think about, oh, you know, the movie stars and rock singers. And, you know, some people look at, oh, look, what they're so successful. It might appear to be successful to the world, but it's not successful. You know why, how I know that? Because if they're not abiding in him, they can't be successful. They can't bear the right kind of fruit. They're bearing fruit all right, but they're bearing fruit of unrighteousness and filth. Okay? So, verse 4 is basically telling us, God's saying, hey, Jesus is saying, you need me. You need me to be successful. But too many people want to go to God for success. They're going to God. They're reaching for God because they want to have success. And that's not the reason. We want to are determined. We want to go to Him because we want to know Him. And from that flows success. But I mean, people, they just, their wheels keep turning and turning, and they're not learning. Their wheels keep turning. Like, why isn't this working? Because you're not going for the right thing. It looks like you're going for the right thing, but you're not. You follow? You understand? That's why it's not working. Who knows? God's word works. So if it's not working, we don't get condemned about it. We get intrigued by it. Why isn't this working in my life? And we get the answers. Amen. Aren't you glad you get to get the answers? Hallelujah. So He's telling us there, hey, you need me. You need me. In order to bear fruit, in order to have success, you need me. So we got to ask ourselves, like we said, what are we pursuing? What are we going after? Oh, someone say, oh, well, we need money to survive. So I'm going after money. No. We need Him to survive. And money comes with Him. Or I need this man in my life to survive. No. You need Him to survive. And from Him flows your heart's desire. Here's two flowers. Which one looks successful? It's pretty easy to tell which one is successful, is it not? This was cut yesterday afternoon from Miss Janie's garden about 1 o'clock is when I requested it, so I'm sure it was right around 1 that it was cut. And this was cut just this morning as she came. Correct, Miss Janie? Interesting. Yesterday at 1, this morning about 8. And look, now this doesn't, we can look at this and we're like, this doesn't look successful. But does this look successful? This looks pretty successful. But give it to tomorrow. It's going to look like this and we're going to realize, I guess it wasn't successful after all. And why isn't this successful, although it looks very successful? Because it's not abiding in the vine. It was cut off from its life source. It was cut off from its flow of success. And know this, the moment that this was cut, even though they look different, but the moment that these both were cut, they died. I think of Adam back in the garden. As soon as he sinned, he died. He's like, Adam didn't die. He lived, 800 years? I can't even remember how many years. He lived a lot of years after he supposedly died. Because that means when it says he died, Adam died, that means he died spiritually. That means he was cut off from the vine. That means he was cut off from his success. But yet look at how many years he still had. Why? Because there was so much of that, of God in him, that it took that long for him to actually then physically die. That's why that happened. Isn't that interesting? But yet he died when he sinned. Aren't you glad we did? Now, when we sinned, the first time we sinned, we died. And that's why we needed to be born again. So we could live again. We could be reconnected. Remember? Back to Him. Who knows? These flowers, if it was possible, if they could be reconnected, wouldn't that be wonderful? But who knows? Flowers can't get reconnected. But we can be reconnected. I'm so grateful that I was able to get reconnected. Once I was cut off, I wasn't garbage. But they both died when they were cut off. This one's looking pretty successful still, but just give it some time. Those things, those people that seem successful, give it some time. Because if their ladder is not leaning on the correct building, time proves things out, doesn't it? For the good and the bad. I'm so glad I'm reconnected. But watch this. In verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's right, nothing. You think, well, I can do stuff. Nothing that's of purpose. Nothing that's of spiritual significance. Nothing that's really going to matter in the life to come that's going to affect someone in this life. Compared to that, it's like you can't do anything. And let's face it. Well, I got up this morning. I didn't spend time with God. Look, I got up this morning. He gave you your breath. He's giving you your breath right now by his mercy and grace and love. Amen. So really, we can't do anything. We can't even breathe without him. He's giving us the breath. Thank you, Lord, for my breath. In the Amplified of verse 5, it says, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Cut off from vital. Vital. What does vital mean? Necessary. Like, you need it. Vital union. And we think, oh, I didn't have time to spend with God today. We can think that sometimes. We want to, again, our determined purpose. Vital union with him is absolutely necessary for our success. So bearing fruit is a result of abiding in him, is what we've learned here. Bearing fruit is a result of abiding in him. So we can also say being successful is a result of abiding in him. So we can say the opposite. With him, we can do anything. So he's telling us without him, we can do nothing. With him, we can do anything. What comes to me? Philippians 4:13. Remember that scripture? It says, I can do all things. How many things? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, in the Amplified, it says, who infuses inner strength into me. You talk about life flowing. Who infuses inner strength into me. My Lord, he empowers me. He empowers me. Where I can do anything I need to do. He empowers me. Amen. 1 John 2:6. It says that anyone who says that they abide in him ought also to walk even as he walked. If you say you abide in him, you also ought to be walking like he walked. Well, of course we can. If we're abiding in him, we've got his life flowing through us. We've been empowered. We've been infused with inner strength to walk like he walked. So of course, if we're abiding in him, surely we're able to walk as he walked, because we've got that life flowing. Amen. We've been infused with that inner strength. You can do it. I can do it. We can do it. Amen. And I found the scripture. I had written it down. Remember I said about they won't be ashamed on that day? 1 John 2:28. That's one a big reason right there to be abiding in him. Those that are abiding in him are not going to be ashamed on that day. So I think one last scripture, we're going to close with this. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. I was going to get into a little bit about, we're talking about abiding in him. One of the scriptures in verse 7 of John 15, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And I'm just giving this to you so you can look at it later for yourself, because it's wonderful. It's powerful to get this truth in you. But notice it says, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, because in the scriptures before it's saying, if you abide in me and I abide in you. But remember we said the words and the person, you can't separate them. So here Jesus said in verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Isn't that good? And it says, then we're going to be successful. And then I want to bring out Hebrews 4:12. You can write this down for your study later. That scripture in the Amplified, it's talking about the word of God. It's living and it's powerful, right? It's living and that word of God, it's living and it's powerful. In the Amplified, look it up in the Amplified. It says it's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Glory to God. If we abide in him and his word abides in us, This word that I just talked about, this word that is active, it's operative, it's energizing, it's effective, that word operates, how can we not have success? Amen? And Joshua 1:8, let's turn there. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good. People think that I can't meditate in the word day and night. We can. Meditating in the Word day and night is not sitting down in your lazy chair, feeding on the Word of God and praying. Now, there's a time for that. But meditating on the Word of God is something different. That's just staying hooked up with Him, communicating Him without throughout the day. Just meditate. What is it? Meditate. Just to think about. Watch this. Let's break it down. So it tells us don't depart. Now, this is powerful. Get this. That word depart in the Hebrew, it means be removed, to withdraw, to be taken away. To withdraw, be taken away. It says, this book of the law shall not depart. Basically, it's saying, don't allow yourself to be moved, like we said earlier. Don't allow this word to be withdrawn from your mouth. Don't allow it to be taken away from you. Isn't that good? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Don't let it be taken from, who knows, circumstances, situations, people will try and take this word from our mouth and take our mouth and speak something else. Don't let it depart. Don't let it be taken away. Don't let it be withdrawn. But you shall meditate in it. Listen, the word meditate means to murmur. Not murmur. You think that she's wearing? Not that. Murmur. To mutter. To murmur. To mutter. To meditate. We can be meditating on God all throughout our day, even if you're at work doing stuff. Of course, you got to think about, you know, the numbers that you're working with or whatever, but still all the while you can be connected with Him. This flower didn't have, you know, flowers don't have to be thinking, okay, I've got to stay connected with this vine. I got to stay connected. They're not, they're just sitting there just having a wonderful day. The sun's shining on them, just enjoying the day, but they're connected. You see? So even so us, we don't have to be thinking, okay, I got to stay connected. I got to stay connected. I got to pray in tongues more so I can stay connected. Well, praying in tongues is wonderful and that helps you stay connected. Over in Jude, it says it helps keep you in the love of God. If you find yourself out of the love of God a lot, pray in tongues. It'll help. But the flowers don't have, we don't have to be thinking, oh my God, we get too heady sometimes. Just connected with Him, just that communion, that fellow. And maybe you're doing something, just, I love you, Lord. Oh, you're the best thing that's happened in my life. Just talking, murmuring, muttering. In the workplace, you're not going to scream, shout, yell, hallelujah, glory to God. There's a time and a place for that. And it's not in the workplace. People think, oh, well, I'm zealous for God. Well, that's great to be zealous for God. But being zealous for God is not necessarily being loud for God all the time. But we're murmuring, oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. So here we go. We're almost done here. And make our way prosperous, and we'll have good success. Listen to that, what that word success means in the Hebrew. To act wisely. Oh, and I thought success was about being rich. Success. To act wisely. To wisely understand, to prosper. What does prosper mean? Remember, to do better. To do better, to prosper. Remember, to practice righteousness, we're doing better. Yeah, this word prosper, to do better. Doesn't mean you became a millionaire overnight. Oh, I prospered. No, you're saying, oh, I did better. I'm doing better, I'm doing better. To act prudently. To have insight. Who would like insight? You can have, we have insight available to us. We have the wisdom of God. We have the ability within us to act wisely, to wisely understand, to prosper, to act prudently, to have insight. That success is available to us. But who is it available to? The one that's abiding in Him. The one that has come to know Him. And that's His determined, not that He knows it all yet or He knows Him all yet, but it is His determined purpose. He's climbing up the right building. Amen. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.